very motivated to sell these homes, and they may be sold for little or no money down. And it looks like there's currently over 40,000 foreclosures in the database being liquidated now. Now, homes may be sold for little or no money down. You can get a list of these foreclosures by calling CRN at 1-800-900-2951. No credit? Hey, it's okay. Again, for a list of foreclosures, call 1-800-900-2951. That's 1-800-900-2951.
Okay, my microphone has been giving me problems here. I tried to get through this commercial a little bit earlier, so my microphone light is on, and I've been ignoring it. I don't want to ignore it any longer, because when my microphone has a problem, I got a problem. When I got a problem, you got a problem. It could be something complex, like the microphone transmission, or it could be something simple. Either way, I'm taking this microphone to AMCO, AAMCO. I'm going to get up to 30 minutes of computer diagnostic time for it, and it's a special price of only $29.95, which in this neighborhood means 30 bucks. I got that much. The expert technicians at AAMCO are going to pull those codes, and it's as easy as that. Whatever the problem is, better trust the trans experts. I better not say that during this Oscar season. Okay, better trust the transmission experts. Why go anywhere else? For a job done right, guaranteed at a price that's super. AAMCO. That's
Dish Network has the most national HD programming available with 25 HD channels. And now, get your local channels in HD. We're available. Call today, 1-888-DISH-924. That's 1-888-347-4924. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 15th.
Jarhead, now on DVD.
Listen up! We are now Operation Desert Storm!
For every war, there is a film that defines it.
You're a Marine here in Saudi Arabia. Are you glad to be here?
It is an honor to fight.
I love it. It's a camp or something.
I miss my parents.
I can hear their bombs and I'm afraid.
Welcome to the suck.
Jarhead is that movie for our time. Critics are calling it an eye-opening experience.
Incoming!
Jarhead is one of the year's can't-miss movies, unlike any other war film you will ever see.
Do you have what it takes to be the meanest, baddest in God's true kingdom?
Yes, sir!
Jake Gyllenhaal, Peter Sarsgaard, Chris Cooper, and Jamie Foxx.
I love this job. I thank God for every day that he gives me in the Corps. Hoorah!
Jarhead, directed by Sam Mendes, rated R. Own the DVD now.
The New York Lottery presents number 40.
You know, some people think I'm over the hill. Why? Just because I'm number 40? Over the hill? Take number 55. No, there's a number that's hit its limit. So when the New York Lottery says pick some numbers, I say pick number 40 and kiss that midlife crisis goodbye. Think about it. At 40, you can finally get that little red sports car you've always wanted. Get that 40-inch plasma screen TV you've had your eye on. Why not? You deserve it. All I'm saying is, life begins at 40. And maybe the next time you play the New York Lottery, it can for you too. Seriously, I can still play. And look, if you can swing it, I wouldn't mind sharing the big 4-0 with a cute little number who say, 25?
The New York Lottery. Lotto. Take 5, numbers, win 4, and New York's Mega Millions. We've got your number.
Be sure to look for the New York Lottery Luck of the Irish sweepstakes exclusively in the New York Post this week. For your chance to win New York Lottery's Got Luck tickets with a top prize of $30,000 and a trip to Ireland.
If you can sweat through a shirt even in winter, like I did, it could be a medical condition called hyperhidrosis. But there's something that can help control severe underarm sweating for up to 6 months with just one treatment. It's called Botox. Yep, Botox, botulinum toxin type A injection therapy, helps control severe underarm sweating when antiperspirants don't work. It's approved by the FDA and covered by many insurance plans. For an experienced dermatologist in your area, go to Botox.com or call 1-800-BOTOX-MD.
You should not be treated if you have an infection at the injection site. Serious allergic reactions and cardiac events have been rarely reported. If you think you're having unusual symptoms such as difficulty swallowing, speaking, or breathing, call your doctor immediately. The most common side effects include injection site pain and bleeding and non-underarm sweating. Ask your dermatologist if prescription Botox therapy is right for you. See our ad in All You magazine at Walmart.
Go to Botox.com or call 1-800-BOTOX-MD today. Help get severe underarm sweating under control with Botox.
Get the good stuff.
Hey, this is Michael Waltrip, driver of the number 55 Napa race car. A lot of people don't know this about me, but I'm quite a hat collector. That's why Napa is helping me collect as many hats as I can, starting with yours. Just bring any old hat into your local Napa Auto Parts store and swap it for a brand new Napa racing hat. The same hat me and my race team wear at the track. Bring in your old hat today and drive home looking like a winner. Napa, get the good stuff.
Get the good stuff.
Welcome to Celeb Reality, Celebs Playhouse once again in the Hollywood Hills with a special guest.
Hi, I'm Florence Henderson.
This could be real good television.
The surreal life.
Whoa.
And tough love just got even tougher. Hulk is back.
Starting tomorrow, you both are going to work a real job.
You're kidding, right?
Hogan knows best. There's no place like Celeb Reality. Premieres Sunday, March 19th. All new seasons of The Surreal Life at 9, 8 Central, followed by Hogan Knows Best at 10, 9 Central. Only on VH1.
92.3 Free FM. WFNY-FM. New York. Mornings. David Lee Roth on 92.3 Free FM.
Let the wind blow you out of my memory. Let the rain wash you out of my eyes. Too many bad times of loving you. Now I gotta realize that I can throw you right out of my mind and put you right back in your place. 'Cause lightning never strikes twice in the same place. I can't live without loving you. Carry on in the same old way. Do anything that I want to do. Say what I want to say. 'Cause I can throw you right out of my mind and put you right back in your place. 'Cause lightning never strikes twice in the same place.
Attention, por favor. David Lee Roth.
David Lee Roth.
David Lee
Roth. Your attention, please.
Welcome to Club Dave, where it only rains when we say so.
I was a butcher caught in a meat.
Play it, be young. Be young, be bad, be bad. Live guitar, baby. Oh, I love that. That I feel it now, now. That wake up time. Oh, Lord, Lord. Got the David Lee Roth Show. .com.
Let your hand down and let yourself
let it down.
Talking about this fellow who had the sign on the side of his truck here. I got a email from England. The fellow just tuned in. He said, Dave, love the lunchtime show. Sorry, son, it's actually after hours for us. If you saw it be young, you would know that.
Man. Head down and let yourself
go. Head it down, man. But he tuned in a little bit late. And on behalf of the 1.5 million people who are listening, we'll just pull the show over and we'll explain to you what's going on. Turn off the music here. We were talking about a guy who had a truck, and on the side of the truck, he put a sign that said English speaking gardener, which in America is an alternative to Se Habla Español. We thought it was funny. Others thought it wasn't funny. We're still in the middle of the discussion.
Okay, ready?
Here we go. And in fact, we got a lot of phone calls here. Go ahead, Brian's on here. He wants to talk about the guy with the sign on his truck. Also, this fellow was wearing a hat that said U.S. Border Patrol. So all of a sudden, he's no longer pointing his finger at all my favorite ethnic groups to make fun of. First, you got to make fun of yourself. I love making fun of Jewish people. I love making fun of showbiz people. Is showbiz an ethnic group? I think it is. Love making fun of Spanish-speaking people. Italians, not so much, but I could. I'm not averse. Irish people, hey, St. Patrick's Day's right around the corner. I'll drink to that. Okay. Yo, Brian, what's up?
Okay, I work for DPW here up in Norwalk, Connecticut.
Okay.
You played the Globe here many years ago.
Certainly. Go ahead.
The thing is, it's with the hat that's probably getting them pissed off. You're supposed to be in full uniform. you can't have any other slogans on your uniform or anything. But with the car, I don't think they could do anything about that.
Okay, that makes perfect sense to me. You know, because as I was working as an EMT, you were allowed to wear a blue cap, but there was always a problem when somebody would wear a New York Yankees cap and somebody would have the Mets or the Red Sox cap, and total blood brothers up in the front of the car at 2:30 in the morning would start fighting for no reason at all. I thought it was great, but it was counterproductive to the process. And I think that's what you're discussing here.
Yep. And so the only thing that they're going to do is probably maybe suspend him for a day or two. Then he's going to grieve it and get his payback for that, and that'll be it.
Okay. You know, and do you think that if he wasn't wearing the hat, that actually the joke was funny or unfunny?
I thought it was funny.
I do, too. And do you,
it was funny.
And do you think that the people, obviously he's pointing the finger at the Latino nation. Do you think the Latino nation is going to take the same attitude that the Islamics took to their favorite cartoon, or are they going to have a better sense of humor about it?
I think they'll have a better sense of humor.
I've got to agree with you. Thanks for giving us a call, Brian. 866-313-3733. Go on down to the next one. Here, Jay, you're on Roth Radio, D-Roll Large. You're on the barge. Go ahead.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, friend.
Okay, I work for the post office.
Ah, we're listening.
I'm a mailman. I'll tell you this. If anybody attached... And by the way, the sign on the truck is going too far.
You think the sign on the truck is going too far?
No. I think the hat is going too far. The sign on the truck does happen to be funny.
I agree with you 100%. You understand show business. Please, reacquaint us with the rest of your thought.
But, first of all, if anybody in the post office attached a sign like that to their truck... or a hat with such a slogan, they could fire you for that.
No, you would be dead in my neighborhood before they ever served you a notice.
well, believe me, I work in a very similar neighborhood. You know what the thing is? They're paying you to provide a service to the people, not to express your opinion about things.
I agree with you 100%, and that's why I continually question, where did he park the truck? What part of the uniform did he alter? I understand completely state regulations, as you do here. So
he didn't park it in Woodhaven, Queens, I'll tell you that.
So I think it's in context, all right? And I'm wondering if he is in a white racist neighborhood. I'm wondering if he's in a neighborhood that's predominantly white and that carries that kind of humor. When I say a racist neighborhood, I don't mean like Deep South Confederacy. I mean, there are neighborhoods where, you know, you go to an Irish neighborhood, they're making fun of the guys from Scotland. If you go to a Japanese neighborhood, oh, you had to hear the latest joke about the Chinese. If you go, and on, right? So I'm wondering if he comes from a neighborhood that primarily supports that kind of humor, or if he's in a predominantly Hispanic neighborhood. Could be either way.
Right. One more point that I think is very important that no one's touched on today.
Go ahead.
Sammy sucks.
Yeah. Well, that was an interesting conceptual leap, and we're going to accept that here. In fact, on behalf of everybody who's taking different sides here, I can't really knock the guy in the head because I think he had a good sign, but then he wore the hat and that was wrong. And I don't know if the company giving him a reprimand for having the truck is right because I dug the sign, but then giving him a reprimand for the hat is correct because it's state issue. On behalf of everybody, turn off the music here. I'm going to do this to Sammy Hagar. Oh, good.
Let's go to Boston.
There's no racists in Boston, is there? Animal? Did you? I don't think you've ever experienced racism. You're too big, right?
A little bit down south. Not too much, you know.
Yeah, like bigness. For about 38 seconds you experienced it.
They was mostly scared of me, man. They was maybe have to gang tackle me or something, man. But, you know.
What do you think of this guy with the hat and the sign at this point in time?
Man, it was pretty good until he put the hat on and stuff, man. He really messed up because, you know, like, this is what we're supposed to do. It's a sense of humor thing, man. You know, we just put some stuff out, and then he want to mess it up with the hat.
Well, he messed up his punchline with an explanation.
Yes, he did.
This is basic comedy 1A. Don't explain the punchline. Let the punchline arrive, like the great sea on the shore. Let it arrive in the imagination of your audience. You got to give people credit. Plus, they're going to think of things you never thought of. Agree or disagree?
I agree. I'm going to put me a shirt on and say, up with fat women, down with skinny women. You think I'll get, you know, harassed with that?
No, I think I think your dance card would be filled and that we would never see you this early in the morning again here. Let's go to Boston. Bill, you're on.
Hey, Mr. Ruff, what's happening this morning?
What's happening? You tell me. What do you think? Is this guy wrong with his sign, or did the sign just become combustible when he put on the hat?
You know, I think that if he was in a different area, say he was in, you know, Los Angeles or La Playa del Rey or Toluca Lake, I think that this would be a much bigger deal. But I think he's definitely among his Caucasian constituents there who might be able to make a little bit more of a joke about it and not take it as serious. But I assume that all of these Caucasian rich big house owners are having their servants communicate with the gardener, so maybe it'll be more tongue-in-cheek.
You know what, Bill? I'm going to disagree with you here because you just named three little places in the Los Angeles area which Animal and I and B. Young are very, very, very familiar with. And I was going to say earlier, and then I forgot to say it, sort of like I love you to my last two girlfriends, but I forgot to say that if you were driving around in Los Angeles, like Silver Lake or Toluca Lake or whatever, and you didn't look like a big fat white bigot, okay? Suppose you looked like B. Young. You got long hair. Obviously, it says there's a surfboard in the trunk somewhere here, right? There's a guitar somewhere in this pickup truck, right? And he's driving around with a big smile that says English speaking gardener. I would think that would be hilarious. I would think that the whole mid-level community, again, of which I was card carrying member, would think that's funny. That's Southern California humor. Why? Because Latinos completely dominate the entire part of the world there. And it's funny to see what might be a little mosquito trying to bite the buffalo's butt. You follow what I'm saying? Do you agree or disagree?
I definitely feel you, Om. I am from Boston, but I worked in that exact area. I worked in a kookaroo for a very long time with a lot of Mexican people. Got to practice my Spanish. I had a really, really good time. And I learned a lot from these Mexican people. I mean, they have a fantastic work ethic. And I don't know if you've heard of a movie called A Day Without a Mexican.
I know of the movie. I have not seen the picture.
It is unbelievable. It is
okay.
The whole town falls apart. And I agree with you to a degree.
It's showbiz. It's showbiz. If the guy is driving around looking like Boss Hogg in one of those filthy Carhartt things that you use to work on the Santa Fe Railroad, you know the kind of gear that Don Imus wears, but like when you actually work in it and it's filthy, and you got a cigar in your teeth and a gold tooth, and the hat is three sizes too small, and his nose is the biggest part of his skull, and well, actually that's funny too, right? I think if you're making fun of yourself, then it goes down a little bit easier. And the question then is, was he just making fun of other people, or was he having fun with himself on this one? What do you think, Bill? Was he having fun with himself, or was he just targeting folks?
Maybe a little bit of both, but I think someone said it before, it might have been more tongue-in-cheek as opposed to targeting.
he's guilty. He's guilty of bad show business. All right, sir, step away from the television. Thanks for calling, Bill. Give me a Scott here one time. Roth Radio, talking New York to Philly, Dallas, Boston, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, West Palm Beach. Send up whoever, man. Just punch the phone. They're all good. You're on, Roth. Go for it.
Hey, Dave, how you doing?
Extraordinary, friend. What's your name?
Brian. I was going to make a comment about the sign and the people getting upset about it, but I got to tell you, I worked in El Paso for about 2 months with a job I was doing down there, and those people down there, this is back in 1986, were the nicest, friendliest people you ever met, and they weren't offended by much, but they would not allow the band Def Leppard to come to town because of some racist comments they made in Tucson, Arizona.
What kind of racist comments? I love this. What kind of racist comments would the idiots in Def Leppard possibly even be able to memorize? Go ahead.
Well, Joe Elliott apparently said...
Wait. Well, how would Joe Elliott even know what a Mexican is upon visual identification?
No, he was playing in front of Tucson crowd.
Okay. And there were a lot of people with black haircuts.
Exactly. Well, what he said, he goes, we're glad we don't have to play in front of those greasy Mexicans in El Paso tonight. And word got back to the guys in El Paso and... It was a big thing down there.
I would imagine it's a big thing.
They wouldn't even play it on the radio.
Well, I wouldn't either. Hey, that's right. Not funny. That's a lousy joke. That's crappy, lousy, beginner, sophomoric, racist, non-humorous garbage.
Like most of
Def Leppard's lyrics.
Exactly.
And I'm going to blame that on the singer as well. How would he even have any idea what that community is like coming from his background? Where's Hutch? You're from that part of the world, UK. Where's Joe Elliott from?
Sheffield.
And what is in Sheffield that he would know a Mexican? Mexican or a Puerto Rican or anything at all on identification.
Well, unless they suddenly became Sheffield steel workers, mostly unemployed steel workers, he would not know.
Well, there you hear it from the Brit's mouth right there.
Exactly.
And what we're talking about is humor. Bad show business bad show business versus great show business. Standing up and just making some boring comment like that is really, that's not good humor. That's not even funny. Hold on, turn the music off. Turn this one's for the guy in Def Leppard. Oye, oye, hijo. Ooh.
I guess they've been back there since, though.
You have not, excuse me, you have not been back there since?
No, I think Def Leppard has been back there since. And I got to also say, those guys in El Paso, they love you, Dave. You're like God to them back in 1986.
Oh, you know, the biggest part of going down to Texas is that you get the balance. Without Brownsville, Texas, which is completely Spanish-speaking, you don't have ZZ Top. That's where they came from, okay? That's why when you open up albums like the classic ZZ Top with LaGrange and everything, what's in the middle of that big double album when it was vinyl? A picture of Mexican food, okay?
Right.
Why? And what? There wouldn't be any country western if there wasn't any Mexicano, okay? The idea of what's happening with barbecue has its roots in what's happening down below the border, okay?
Yeah, I'm sure you've had menudo before then, huh?
Oh, I've had many hangovers, and I've refused.
3 o'clock in the morning, I was introduced to that.
And I have refused menudo, but just in Texas alone, I've toured in Beaumont, El Paso, Amarillo, Laredo, Corpus Christi, Odessa, Midland, Houston, San Antonio, Dallas, and there's another city that I don't want to say because I made a sex tape back in 1988 and I'm getting ready to release it, and I'm hoping that I can join the Paris Hilton generation, so I don't want to give it away just yet, but we'll be making that announcement right after this. Thanks for giving us a call, 866-313-373. I'm not kidding, animal. I know, I'm 20 years past it, but I have a sex tape. And if anybody within the sound of my voice now would like to secretly leak it, then I feel that, you know, because someday I'm going to be sitting on the airplane, and you never know, Paris Hilton may sit down. We have something in common. All right, let's expand this here. Let's just expand this for a second here. The teacher who got suspended after his Hitler thing, okay? A high school geography teacher. Wow. Colorado again, okay? Well, the last issue was in Denver, Arapahoe County. This is Colorado again. A high school geography teacher in Colorado has been put on leave after a 16-year-old pupil recorded him comparing George Bush to humor. Well, there's a Freudian slip.
David Lee Roth on 92.3 Free FM.
Better let your hair down. Better go to school. Better politic. Better civicalism. Lord, Lord. Roth Radio, D-Row, large in charge. That's why they made me Sarge. So large, I need a barge, Marge. 866-313-3733. DavidLeeRoth.com. You can send in the emails on this. The high school geography teacher in Colorado, Colorado in the news, been put on leave after a 16-year-old student recorded him comparing George Bush to Hitler. Da-da-da, baby. Sean Allen, 16, attends a suburban high school outside of Denver, and he recorded his teacher lambasting Bush. Sounds a lot like the things that Adolf Hitler used to say, the teacher told his class. We're the only ones who are right. Everyone else is backward, and our job is to conquer the world, the teacher said. The teacher went on to say, probably the single most violent nation on earth, saying that it committed more than 7,000 terrorist sabotage acts against Cuba. Interesting. Why would he bring up Cuba? And then he told the students that they were free to disagree with him. I don't know how many people disagreed with him on, on a subject like that. That's a pretty convoluted subject. What do you think? Do we actually live in the most violent nation on earth? And how do you describe violence? Does that include wife beating? No, because I haven't seen any burkas on Fifth Avenue. Not lately. I haven't seen, a lot of that kind of crime. I haven't seen, as far as the president being like Adolf Hitler. Well, you can draw parallels anywhere, right? Did you ever notice that Adolf Hitler had the same mustache as Charlie Chaplin? Now watch, the movie community is going to rise up. You can't say that about Charlie Chaplin. Well, there's definite link there. I'm wondering, what you think? 866-313-3733. Does the teacher have the right to talk about this kind of an issue in front of 16-year-olds? Okay, pick up the first one. Jay, calling in from Ohio, Roth Radio. What do you think, Jay?
I think he does have the right.
Explain.
For one, at 16 years old, you're old enough to make your own decision and your own opinion on stuff. And two, that's his opinion. You know, that would be like him mentioning something about, Easter, the birth of Christ or whatever else. You know, that's his opinion. You know, do I necessarily agree with that? No, not necessarily. But that's just somebody pointing out a different point of view.
I'm going to agree with you on this call until somebody can convince me different here. I think that, again, it's the issue with the parents. I think the kids are absolutely absorbent. They can pick up anything. They're like sponges, all right? And contrasting points of view, even if you don't believe what you're saying, which is half of what I do for a living now in broadcasting, you say it to trigger other people's imaginations. You say it to cause debate. You say it to cause competition with your words and with your ideas. And frequently out of those competitions come ideas I did not expect at all. That's half the fun of doing this gig. Remember I told you guys you're going to hear all kinds of crazy stuff that you never thought of before. Once we get into these phone calls here, there's a direct link between this show and the 1.5 million of you who are listening as we speak. That's hundreds of football stadiums worth of folks. You can't possibly know what somebody's going to bring back to you. You say 1, 2, you expect to hear 3, and somebody comes back and goes, no, potato. Well, that's when it kind of turns into art, okay? And I'm going to agree with you, is that he has every right to say this as long as he permits a contrasting view. But just for the sake of debate and having a little fun and giggles here, do you think we're the most violent nation on earth?
I think we're working that way.
Okay, and do you think that we committed 7,000 terrorist acts against Cuba? I'm not even sure I understand that that reference there, but perhaps you do. Why would he even suggest Cuba, of all places?
That I'd have no idea on. Long before my time, and I didn't pay that much attention in school.
Yeah, that's like 1961, the Bay of Pigs or some such. I think I was in fourth grade when that happened. 866-313-3733. If you have any idea why this individual brought up Cuba and the terrorist actions that we supposedly caused there, unless he's referring to Guantanamo Bay, that may be, some of his issue there. But I had some great teachers in 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th grade during 60s, early 70s when it was... prohibited to even put the chairs in a circle. That was hippie stuff, man. You didn't put students in a circle. They all sit and face forward, like in the 30s and the 40s and everything. And we had a great social science teacher. We had Mrs. Mintz, another social science teacher. And we would sit in a circle, and she would bring lyrics from rock songs, or she would bring novels and books that the parents might consider alternative thinking, stuff that's very tame to this day. And, you know, you would go home and discuss it at the dinner table. If your parents were up to sharp, okay, then you could come in with the most contrasting, crazy idea. Mrs. Mintz said all Jewish people, blah, blah, blah. Well, it's up to the parents to put some straightening on you at that point in time, or at least for them to continue to discuss. Have we gotten to a point where we're no longer prepared to even discuss? Isn't that creative denial? Let it down, baby. Okay, put the caller back on here. What do you think, my friend? He's gone? Pick up the next one. Queens, John. He's a teacher simulating thought? Stimulating thought. I don't know. Maybe he's simulating it if he doesn't believe what he's saying. Go ahead, John. You're on.
Well, we'd have had to be in the classroom to know whether he was simulating or stimulating, but let's be honest, man. The fact that this guy got disciplined for thoughts and words is pretty much proof of what he was saying. We typically hear about, you know, nations where you're not allowed to say certain things or have certain thoughts and opinions. We consider that, you know, tyrannical. And the fact is that we're very good at identifying fundamentalism in other countries. We're very good at noticing these things, but we're very bad at noticing it among ourselves. That's part of the human condition. And I think the fact that a teacher's being disciplined for thoughts and words is pretty darn scary.
I think it is scary. I guess the break point comes at what age do you really commit to free speech? And I think 16 is old enough. If you're old enough to operate a motor vehicle, if you're old enough to go and purchase a 50-cent CD, put it in the tape player, in the automobile, and operate both at the same time, then you're old enough to start to understand these basic kind of issues. What do you think, Animal? Is a 16-year-old enough old enough to understand these issues and begin to discuss them? What do you think?
Yeah, I think they're old enough, because I think I was like in the 8th or 9th grade when I first learned about Hitler, and it kind of spooked me and stuff, man. And it was kind of interesting, the stuff that he done to people, man.
Okay, but
I don't think that. Go ahead.
Did the teacher share with you what was just going on historically, or did they compare Hitler to somebody who existed in this day and age?
Well, they was comparing him to Napoleon when it was brought up to me and stuff.
Okay,
and
well, the French would have a real serious problem with that. So would a lot of strategic generals and people who've studied this kind of material.
Yeah.
You know, you got to be very careful about lining up bad guys with supposed good guys, because there's a lot of overlap. You know, virtually every army, every military in the world now bases most of its strategic thinking on one book. It all starts with one book, Clausewitz, von Clausewitz. The great Prussian general came from the turn of the century, and he wrote a book called On War. Okay? They teach this at the Maryland War College. They teach this anywhere where there's strategic thinking. And you know who else was a big follower of that book, studied that book harder than he studied the Bible? Nelson Mandela. Okay? So you got to be real careful about drawing parallels and saying, okay, well, this is completely good and this is completely bad, because there's always a little something you can extract. You follow? And I think it's real easy. Again, it's just bad comedy to start going, okay, the president is like Hitler. In what kind of way? That he delivers speeches? Seriously, you know? And I take a issue with the idea that America is the most violent place on earth. Do you think it's the most violent place on earth?
Yeah, sometime I do, but, you know.
Well, wait a second.
Yeah, sometime. Because, like, in California, you know how it is out there. It can get pretty rough, but that's in just about every city. You just got to know what to look for it at.
You think those cities are any different than what's happening outside the United States?
Oh, no, man. Because over there.
Would you say the other cities outside the United States might be a little bit worse off as far as security arrangements?
Probably it is, man, because they're killing over there every day, dumb killings and stuff, you know, like you say, over cartoons and stuff, man. It just don't add up with us. But like I say, we could be the most violent country in the world. But, you know,
is it okay for the teacher to say that in the class of 16-year-olds?
No, I don't think so. They
shouldn't
say
that.
Oh,
why don't you think so?
Because if you say that, then you say we're the most violent kids in the world. If me being 16-year-old, hey, I'm going to go out and be violent, I guess. Because they say we're violent anyway because I'm at the learning point, right?
Turn off the music. That's a point I had not considered. that if a teacher teaches a 16-year-old that you are already the most violent tribe on the reservation, that you're actually encouraging somebody to go out and do it. You know what? If I was 16, I would think exactly as you just thought.
Yeah, I would go out and get a name for myself, man. I'd be messing up something just to carry on the tradition if that's what we were about, because that's what they're teaching me.
If I was 16 years old, I would be what Animal is saying. Exactly. Yeah, what Animal said. Like I told you before, this is Animal's house. I just work here.
Mornings, David Lee Roth on 92.3 Free FM.
接上了 David Lee Roth， 准备去探索 Roth， 直达在早上六点。Welcome to David Lee Roth. First thing in the morning, Roth, 6 a.m. Very consistent.
Hunch. He's on the phone. He wants to talk. He's a teacher, it looks like. You're on, Jim. What's up, hun?
Hey.
Go ahead, friend. You're on the air.
Hey. First of all, David, I love the show, man.
Thank you so much.
Second of all, this guy's a geography teacher, okay? When I was in high school, we left this up to the political science teachers and to the people who ran the political clubs. He should not be throwing out his rhetoric like this. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're on the left or the right. You teach your subject, and you let your kids learn that. And if they want to get political, then they go to a political course.
So what is his argument, then, in that he was teaching, supposedly, a geography class? How did he make the conceptual leap into political referencing? Does he have an explanation for that?
I guess you can say that in some ways, you know, that he wants to discuss modern topics and the modern geography, you know, the Middle East or whatnot. But still, you don't go into, you don't make that political leap. You base everything on geography. And if they really want to go more into the subject of politics, they can research them themselves. Or I know that many high schools have political clubs, you know, the Republicans, Democrats, whatever.
What kind of a teacher are you, my friend?
I'm sorry?
Are you a teacher?
No, I'm not a teacher. I'm actually a history major. I am going for education, though.
And what grade will you teach? What age group will you teach when you finally become an instructor?
Hopefully high school and then college.
But. Okay, well, how would you, and I'm going to become the devil's advocate here, because I tend to agree with you, but just for the sake of debate, how do you explain the constantly shifting set of boundaries and borders and the way countries are changing now without actually dealing with politics to some fair degree here? If you're going to discuss why Iran is fighting with Iraq or why that border exists between Palestine and Israel or why Israel was invented, did you even know that it was invented or that it was supposedly stolen or that it was won in a war or whatever, that impacts why the border is where it is. And if the border is constantly changing there, one day it's Gaza, next day it's in Puerto Rico. Nobody's really sure why, and there's a political agenda that goes along with that. You say that though you can discuss geography without invoking all those thoughts?
That's a good thought, man, but you don't need to always bring politics in. You can actually take that from a historical basis. All those things that you're talking about, even modern Iraq, you don't have to take a biased opinion on it. It doesn't matter if you're left, right, whatever. You just state the facts that there is a war in Iraq ongoing and stuff like that. Israel and Palestine, you can go through the whole list of how it began and everything, and you just take whatever the general consensus of history is, and whether or not that changes, we have no sway over that. That's whatever the authors write.
Okay, where would the 16-year-old then find this kind of instruction? Where would they be caused to think about this? Where would they find somebody like yourself who's going to hold forth with their thoughts? Because you're going to have to take it a position one way or another, ultimately. Where would a 16-year-old run into that? And don't say the parents, because we're not going to do anything with them. I'm old enough to be one. I'm old enough to know a lot of them. We're no good at this. It's all up to you and the students, my friend. So where are the kids going to find the place where they're caused to have this kind of extreme thought?
I think they've already found it, and that's the internet. I think that with all the blogs and all this other stuff, they're already finding their media outlet where they can get information and they can give information, their opinions, their views, and they can talk about it with their friends on chat lines and their instant messages and whatnot.
It sounds like a good case, but it also sounds like a good case for the blind leading the blind. Only an imbecile thinks that experience is going to replace an education. You got to have experience, okay? But in terms of somebody like yourself, who's coming with a whole lot of academic capacity, your ability to debate, your ability to think constructively, your ability to argue, all good stuff that no 16-year-old is going to possess, at least not to the degree that you will. So, as far as the blogs, they're full of garbage. All my favorite blogs are full of nonsensical garbage, whether it's the Islamics claiming that the Americans did this or the Americans claiming they did this. And then there's a guy who says the Holocaust didn't exist. And then there's a guy who says I'm an English-speaking gardener and you're not even sure. For all we know, he's lying. So, yeah, that's blog world. In terms of an instructor like yourself causing thought, I don't care if it's Socrates or you or a radio show like mine, so where are they going to find the leadership that's going to cause them to think? Not think a certain way, but cause them to think. Where's a 16-year-old going to run into that?
They're going to run into it with all their other history courses. Geography is geography. I've never seen a geography teacher go off on a political tangent like he did. There was absolutely no reason to do that, and especially when you start comparing people to Hitler. As John Stuart said, nobody was Hitler but Hitler.
I agree with you. And if it's not, suppose this fella had gone and discussed all of these elements in a history class, or he had gone on to discuss exactly in the same fashion that he did, said exactly the same things, compared Bush to Hitler, America's the most violent country, etc., etc. If he had done this in a history or a civics class, then it would be acceptable to you, and he would be beyond reprimand, right or wrong?
If I was in his class and I was a student, I would have definitely argued the point that he has no factual basis to back all that up.
Nevertheless, is it okay for him to say exactly the same things as he said if it was in a civics or a history class compared to a geography class?
I would definitely have more, my view would definitely be more lenient towards it right now, because at least then you're discussing topics like Hitler and modern day Middle Eastern policy and stuff like that.
I think you have an interesting point. Thanks for the call. 866-313-3733. He placed it in a context. He said that it was a geography class. I don't know. Are you allowed to discuss Mexican culture if it's a gardening class? I'm saying this just to be incendiary here. I'm trying to be combustible, but you're saying he's taking it out of context. Okay. I wonder if that's acceptable. 866-313-3733. We seem to agree that if it's in the geography class, that you don't go leaping into politics. But I still maintain it's impossible to discuss borders and boundaries and why countries exist without discussing the war that caused it to happen. Okay? If you read history from beginning to end, it reads like one long bloodbath. And I don't support that. But in fact, nothing exists. No omelets are made without a broken egg. You follow? Nothing grows out of the dirt unless you plow something under. You follow my thinking here? Again, I don't condone the wars, you know, but this is the facts. How do you discuss borders and boundaries without discussing the politics? On the other hand, I don't think the parents are going to be wanting to discuss this with their kids. That's a long discussion. Look how long we've been pounding away on this. Ryan, go ahead.
I was going to say, it's one thing to discuss politics, but he's just talking about presidents like Hitler, and we're the most violent nation, telling these young kids that. It seems like a one-sided thing, and the kids probably can't debate it because they don't have the knowledge to debate that.
Of course they can't debate it, and they don't have the knowledge for that. I'm wondering if he offered up any explanations or if this was just a rant of his. What do you think?
If I was 16 years old, that would just scare me really badly to think that we're in the most violent country in the world and our president's like Hitler. Well, you read about Hitler, you start freaking out.
Well, he's also probably playing to the left-hand liberal bias that most students have, that I learned as a student, that I probably still maintain as an adult, you know. He's playing to a crowd, all right? He knows that he's probably already got a lot of support on what he's saying there. And if he didn't offer an explanation, then he deserves a lot more than a reprimand. Causing people to have a debate, a competitive debate, you got to follow through. You don't just throw the grenade into the pond, let the fish float to the surface, and don't clean up afterwards here. Give me number 14, Boston, 866-313-3733. Boston, you're on.
Hey.
Go ahead, friend.
Hey, just to speak to the, are we a more violent society than other societies out there? I think maybe on a day-to-day basis, maybe we are, and maybe that comes along with being one of the more populous nations in the world. But, I mean, for the level of violence, do we approach anything like, say, the Hutus chopping off the Tutsis' arms wholesale, or the Taliban beating a woman down into death because they can see the hairs of her chinny-chin-chin? I don't think we really approach that level.
I agree with you, and this is why I demand an explanation.
Think we are starting to get, excuse me?
I agree with you, and that's why I demand an explanation from a teacher like that. I think he has an opportunity to say that, but you have to follow through with the explanation. There's always a contrasting view.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I mean, it's like you say, you can't just throw the grenade out there and then leave it at that. I mean, all bets should be off in school when it comes to discussing any current event or any thought process like that, but... Yeah, he needs to
stop right there. What do you mean?
Some sort of an explanation, because these kids aren't necessarily going to be totally well informed on everything.
No, they're not. You can pretty much expect that they don't care to be informed. I didn't care to be informed as a kid. I'm still struggling with it as an adult here. Okay, you know what? I think I agree with you here. But you illuminated earlier there. You said that all bets are off. What did you mean by that?
By all bets are off, I mean, he's leaving it for them to draw their own conclusions. And I don't think it's a conclusion that they can draw.
I don't think he provided them with the options for making the vote, if you want to talk about the American way.
He did say, well, you know, opposing views.
He solicited opposing views, or presented supporting views?
He presented supporting views is what he did.
I got to wonder about that, because if you did it effectively, it's going to take a lot longer than one classroom's experience. You agree or disagree?
I agree.
Hey, thanks for calling.
It takes a lot, like you say, it's going to take a lot more than one classroom.
Absolutely.
It's going to take the process of maybe a whole school year.
I think somebody should get this fellow on the air. Somebody ought to get him on the radio or on the television and let him propose his contrasting views. Because you know what? I'm not necessarily disagree with everything that this teacher said. I mean, this is the most violent radio show on earth, right?